When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now from the Las Vegas airport, he is Bill Ryder, CBS Sports NBA Insider. Check him out. Ryder Than You weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on the Infinity Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter at SportsRyder. Bill, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
What up, Sparky? What up, Milwaukee? Like the Bucks, false start, but let's do something great now, I hope. I hope this is working. Hello.
I got to be honest. When I was watching Giannis dancing after they won the championship and celebrating, and then he gets the MVP and they're raising the trophy, then I'm watching NBA TV after and Lillard's talking, then Giannis and Doc are talking, I couldn't help but get you out of my mind, Bill Ryder. You were resonating in my head, Bill Ryder. Now, I want to know, where are you, Bill Ryder, now on Doc Rivers and this Milwaukee Bucks team? Because earlier in the season when we had you on, you were not as positive about this team.
Well, look, I understand in the social media age, it's hard to get into the nuance of things people like me report and grab to the headlines and the angst and anger. The question is, do I think that it's really good for Milwaukee that the Bucks stop being 2-10 and playing at a level that means Giannis doesn't want to leave? Yeah, I think it's great for you guys. If you're asking me if I think Doc Rivers has transformed himself into a championship-level coach and put aside the issues I have and worry and a host of other people have, no.
Oh, come on.
Hold on, Sparky. Here's the beauty of sports. All he has to do is, like, make a deep run in the playoffs and prove me wrong. That's the magic of it. I hope it happens. We can certainly get into the details. I will say this. I heard your caller make the same point. He was 100% right. They just beat the Bucks, the second-best team in the NBA, the best team in the Western Conference, in the Thunder, absolutely a championship contender. This is the first big moment for me on this run, and we can talk about why if you want, where it's, I think, time to say, all right, maybe Milwaukee is a championship-level team.
Okay, so this is the thing. Last night, they didn't have Chet Holmgren. Fine. Bucks didn't have Chris Middleton, so they both were without a score. Both have had their injury issues already. Holmgren has already had them early in his career. Middleton has had his throughout his career. But the one thing that everybody was hearing going into this game was, boy, this Thunder defense, man, it could be a historic defense. They're on some type of run. And Doc pointed it out after the game, like, they were sick of it. That's all they kept hearing about was how great this OKC defense was. And they did hold the Bucks under 100 points for certain. They're a good defense, but I think the Bucks kind of took it personal, and you could see their defensive intensity kind of pick up in that game against OKC.
Yeah, I think Doc, obviously being a head coach of the NBA, knows what I talked about over the last few days in the lead-up to this on the Beyond the Arc podcast I do for CBS Sports. This is a bad matchup for Oklahoma City, especially without Chet. I don't think that's a reasonable excuse. The Thunder have still been amazing without him. But this is a Thunder team that went and got Hartenstein because they do not have enough size. Yep. That was part of the problem in the playoffs last year. And the reality is, against the average NBA team, without Chet Holmgren, certainly, but just in general, this Thunder team doesn't guard big men particularly effectively, and then you get into the Bucks specifically, no one can guard Giannis. There is not a player on the Thunder who is an ideal person to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that is problematic because even when you have the ideal person, someone that's big enough and strong enough and good enough defensively, you still can't stop the guy. I mean, I don't know if you want to still go to this place, but I think he and Jokic are right now, it's early, you know, 1A, 1B, whatever order you want in terms of MVP candidates, and I have a vote for that, so I think about it early. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, this was a really bad matchup for the Thunder. The one thing the Thunder do really well is limit the three-point shot, and the Bucks have been really good and really efficient this season shooting from deep. They've surrounded Giannis with more shooters, and give the Milwaukee credit. That's the battle they won that I think was unexpected. They were great from the three-point line, and the Thunder were not able to counter that defensively. If you can't do that and you already can't guard Giannis, you're in deep trouble.
Tom and Bill Ryder, CBS Sports NBA Insider. Follow him on Twitter at SportsRyder. Let's talk about all the three-point shots that Oklahoma City missed, because they missed a bunch in that game last night. And Adam Silver was talking in Vegas about the idea of, you know, people complaining about there being too many three-point shot attempts in the NBA. Boston's attempting like 51 a game or something crazy like that. When you get to that level of taking that many threes and you rely on it, you obviously are going to have a very hard time winning when those shots aren't falling. Is that going to be an issue with the Thunder going forward, or do you think they're still capable of winning in other ways when their three isn't falling like last night?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it is a big issue, and I thought about that before the game. I was sitting there pregame diving into the numbers on Basketball Reference for both teams, right? Just have a deeper sense of each of them before they played. And I think the difference between the Thunder and the Celtics, and maybe everybody in the Celtics that do this, the Celtics are really, really efficient. Like, they take a lot of threes. They also hit a lot of threes, so it's a really good combination. This is a Thunder team that, even though they entered that game, Sparky, as a top 10 offense in the NBA, they were 19th, 20th in three-point shooting. They were low in field goal percentage. They get most of their offense generated through Shea and through 3 points off turnovers. And again, give the Bucks credit, the way they ran the offense sort of countered that a little bit. So I don't think the Thunder can rely on their three-point shooting. And I think you're right. They take a lot of threes. They don't make a lot of threes. And that means
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Between really good nights we've seen over this year and nights like last night, really good halves like we saw for the Thunder against the Rockets in the second half versus really bad halves shooting in the first half, it is going to have an impact on Oklahoma City. And I think it's something they're absolutely going to have to address. And by the way, Alex Caruso can't make a three to save his life. That should revert back, and Chet will come back. He can hit some threes. But I think it's really astute. I think it is not. That is a weakness for Oklahoma City that the Bucks did a great job exploiting.
What's the Bucks' weakness?
Well, I mean, the answer I want to tell you is Doc Rivers, and I could absolutely be wrong. Here's what I'll say. I was talking to some people about this after the game. This is not a put-down. This is just a fact. The Bucks are basically a 20-game run, and I think they are 14-6, if I'm doing this right off the top of my head, since they started whatever it was, 1-8, 1-9, whatever they began. Over that stretch, they're a top-10 offense, they're a top-10 defense. But they hadn't until last night really played anybody. That was just the fifth team they played that was over 500, and the only wins they had against those kind of teams were Atlanta and who else? Houston. So I think that I don't know the answer to your question because they have not been tested enough yet, although last night was the first like really significant test. I am skeptical they can play defensively the level we saw last night. They were extraordinary defensively. And then I think the other concern just becomes after Dame and after Giannis, you really need a little bit of help and a little bit of depth for a long season, and that's where you just need Chris Middleton to A, be healthy, and B, be consistent. Now, I'm a Middleton guy. I think he can certainly be consistent. We've already seen him help that team win a championship. The health is always a question mark, but I think the other thing is, in the reality of this NBA, CBA, most teams don't have a lot of depth. So it's master of the obvious, but if Giannis and Dame are healthy, they can play at the level that they have as a unit, right, as a duo in rhythm, and that defense can be good. They're good enough. If the defense can't be against high-powered offenses, against teams like Boston, then that'll be the weakness.
Tom, Bill Ryder, CBS Sports NBA Insider. He's hanging out in the Vegas airport, getting ready to get out of Vegas after being at the game last night, a game the Bucks won and won the NBA Cup championship. You were there. To me, on TV watching, it seemed a little weird to me. It was a situation where, yes, you're in Vegas. I felt like the intensity level was kind of there between both teams. But the crowd, even though it was packed, didn't know who they were necessarily rooting for.
Yeah, you're right.
So to me, it didn't feel like the true playoff atmosphere like it would be if it was in somebody's home court.
Sparky, weird is the opposite, is the exact right word, because it was full. But I'd also heard and was told going in, and was told by some other folks that you could basically walk up if you happen to be in Vegas and get $40 tickets, discount tickets. And I think a lot of people did that. I don't think there were a lot of Bucks fans there. I don't think there were a lot of Thunder fans there. And the energy was, you're right, and the energy was interesting because it was really chippy and edgy on the floor. And it felt like a playoff game. I've covered these things, obviously. It felt significant on the floor, and it felt meaningless to the people watching. And it was a really strange kind of vibe because it was fun to watch. It was a really good basketball game. And I know that, well, for you guys it was great, but for us neutrals, it wasn't a great ending. Obviously, the Bucks sort of pulled away. But the first half was fun, and these guys were fighting each other. There were some hard fouls, maybe two hard fouls. It just wasn't a partisan crowd. I think that was just a bunch of randos in Vegas who thought, all right, $40-$50, let's go watch an NBA game.
How long were you in Vegas for this week? Just last night, or were you there for a couple days?
I was there for 6 days, dude. I'm so ready to go home with my wife and kids. 6 days.
I got one last one for you.
All right.
How much of this was a young team hitting it up and having fun in Vegas versus a vet team that was there to do something?
Yeah, so look, I think it's a really good question. I actually don't think it's I don't know, but I don't think it's probably as likely to be the Vegas thing because that is a very professionally run basketball team. It's one of the things that has impressed me about Oklahoma City. They don't talk a lot of smack. They don't talk a lot of smack when teams do to them like the Rockets did. They go about their business. I think this is something I talked about again on the podcast with my co-host there, John Gonzalez, why I thought the Bucks could make more of a game of it than most people. Giannis has won an NBA championship. Damian Lillard has been to conference finals. Chris Middleton, who didn't play, has been to an NBA championship. Doc Rivers, my favorite guy, has won an NBA championship as the head coach, and this Thunder team hasn't really accomplished anything. I think maybe more is that these games feel different, and Jalen Williams talked about this for the Thunder. They feel more significant when you're doing media before and after every game, when there's this sort of unique spotlight, when at least among the players you're playing for something, whether it people care about the NBA Cup or not, competitors who play for a living do. And I think the Bucks had a core that understood what that feels like, and I do not think the Thunder did. I think that certainly played a role. Whether the Thunder were doing what I wish I had done but didn't, which is being out at 2 in the morning at Fountain Blue or the Wynn or wherever people go, I don't know.
He is Bill Ryder, CBS Sports NBA insider, writer than you, 9 to 11 weekdays on the Infinity Sports Network. Beyond the Arc podcast, make sure to download that on your Odyssey app or if you download your favorite podcast at. Follow him on Twitter at SportsRyder. Bill, thanks so much for coming on, and enjoy your flight home.
Always for you, brother, and Milwaukee. Thanks, man.